Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, May the 1st. Well, I think we're going to get some rain, but we're not 100% sure about that. But it sure looks a little cloudy around here on this first of May. Today, we're going to talk about two big topics. Venezuela continues to deteriorate. Just happened to be looking at some videos here recently from Venezuela, and it's just a mess. I don't know how you can put that thing back together after the last couple of days. And we're also going to talk about the Attorney General going in front of the Senate. He, I thought, handled himself rather well. I didn't see the whole thing. It's just hard to do. I mean, those things are so long, and, you know, I don't get paid to watch that stuff. But I'm telling you, it was I thought it was a pretty good performance by the Attorney General, despite the fact that obviously there were a lot of very hostile questions from a Democrat party that doesn't seem to want to let go of Mueller. But I want to begin, of course, this is May 1st, and in much of the world, I think just about anywhere in the world today, with the exception of the United States and Canada, in much of the world today, this is Workers' Day or Labor Day. And they celebrate this with marches and protests and parades. I mean, I guess it depends what the state of mind of the workers is. But they tend to celebrate fairly big around the world. And, you know, many people around the world always ask, you know, why is it that the United States does not celebrate May 1st like everybody else does? And at first, I didn't know the answer. So I started to do a little research, and it kind of goes back to the labor unions. The labor unions, when the labor union or the union movement in the United States took on a lot of strength about 100 years or so in the early part of the 20th century, a lot of May 1st was associated with the Soviet Union. If you've seen the sickle and hammer flag and all of that. And a lot of the Labor Day, May 1st, I should say, ideas were very much, almost went along with a lot of communist ideas. And the labor unions in the United States did not want to be associated with that. They didn't want to have, you know, they didn't want to put that on their on the parade, if you will. So we opted for a different idea, and that is we celebrate Labor Day on the first Monday of September. Now, in a lot of countries, of course, Labor Day is not about communism or the Soviet Union that isn't even around anymore. But certainly for a long time it was, and I can certainly understand why the labor union said, you know, we don't want that connection. We don't want people to bring that up. And for that reason, Labor Day in the United States does not really have a political component to it. Now, I do know, of course, that there's a lot of political speeches on Labor Day. The politicians obviously go out to the different parades and all of that. But it's not the same as what you, I'm sure, will see in many capitals around the world, where you have large demonstrations, very politicized demonstrations. I think in France, they're burning cars again, which is nothing unusual. That's all they do, it seems like, in France. So that's the reason. That's the reason, at least as I understand it, that's the reason why Labor Day in the United States is not on May 1st, but instead we celebrate Labor Day on the first Monday of September. That's it, the first Monday of September. Of course, for many of us, just a quick note here about the first Monday of September. I remember when we first came to the United States that the first month, Labor Day or the first Monday of September was always the day before school started. So that was kind of an interesting connection that I always make with the first Monday of September or Labor Day. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Venezuela. I'm sure if you're watching the news, the situation continues to deteriorate. I guess you might say that the attempt at removing Maduro did not work maybe as they had planned. At the same time, I'm not sure that they were necessarily planning to do it all in one day. I mean, I don't know what the strategy was, but I my sense is that the strategy was, let's get out there, let's put people in the streets, and then maybe hope that as time goes by, more and more military people will flip over and support the streets. Some did, and I actually do believe that as time passes, more will. But to me, the biggest issue in Venezuela is not the Venezuelan army. I think the Venezuelan army will not shoot its people, and I think Maduro knows that. They will not shoot their own people. So I think Maduro has to be very careful how he puts the army out in the streets. Now, yesterday we saw a truck overrunning like a median and going into a crowd. I mean, that was pretty scary. I don't know if anybody got killed, but that was a pretty bad scene. I mean, that's reminiscent of some terrorist act or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know if anybody got killed in that incident. I'm sure somebody must have gotten injured, though. But again, back to my point, I don't think the Venezuelan army is going to shoot their own people. I just don't buy that. I do believe that what is really protecting Maduro at the moment are these Cuban troops in Venezuela. These Cuban troops, I think, are the, if you will, the last line of defense for Maduro. And these Cuban troops, as I understand from my Venezuelan friends and people who know a lot about the situation in Venezuela, I mean, these Cuban troops are basically there to die if they have to. I mean, they have to defend Maduro. They cannot cut and run or surrender or go back home. They have to defend Maduro. That's their mission. So my guess is that they will. Some may break, but I think most of them will. And that's where I believe you're going to have a very nasty situation when these troops are really forced to defend Maduro and start shooting at let's say, American troops or Brazilian troops or Colombian troops if they go in, because I think that's Maduro's last line of defense. And that's what we have to be ready for, that these Cuban troops are trained to kill, and they're there to protect Maduro, and they're going to do that. They have no option. They cannot go back to Cuba. So I would keep an eye on those Cuban troops. Now, President Trump must be keeping an eye on the Cuban troops as well, because he issued a very strong warning yesterday to the Cuban government regarding these troops and regarding their involvement in Venezuela. And if I was Raul Castro, I would take that warning very seriously. I would take that warning very seriously, because if there is an intervention in Venezuela, it's probably going to be explained along the lines that Cuban troops are in Venezuela intervening in the country, and this is an action to protect the Venezuelan people from the Cuban intervention. So if I was Raul Castro, I would take President Trump's threat very, very seriously, because I just don't believe that there's going to be any other way of ousting Maduro without having to go through those Cuban troops. I could be dead wrong. I'll admit that. I could be dead wrong. There could be Maduro could get on a plane tomorrow and leave the country. We're all hoping for that. That would be the perfect solution to the problem. But I don't see that happening. I really don't. I don't see that happening at all. What I think is going to happen is that he's going to have to be overthrown. He's going to have to be rooted out. And that will probably mean a military confrontation between, let's say, the American troops and the Cuban troops defending Maduro. That's the way I see it. And it's not going to end pretty. No matter how it ends, it's not going to end very pretty. We're going to take a little break here. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link, by the way, to Carlo's website right there on the show information under the show description. If you click on that, you'll get a schedule of where Carlos is playing around town. Of course, Carlos and his wife, Luisa, are from Venezuela, so I'm sure they're taking all this down there quite seriously. A couple of things on this day in history. 1939, Judy Collins was born. Happy number 80 to one of my favorite voices in pop music. Not always in agreement with her politics. I have to confess that. But I tuned that out and just listened to her wonderful voice. She's got some great songs. On this day in history, 1941, Citizen Kane, the movie with Orson Welles, or I think it was Orson Welles who made the movie, was released on this day. I'm not sure that back then they reacted to this movie the same way we do now. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on movies, but I know right now it's almost like a classic. Everybody has to see it. But I'm not sure it was treated that way when it came out back in 1941. And on this day in 1991, Nolan Ryan, the great Nolan Ryan, pitched his 7th no-hitter. That's amazing. The next one on the list has 4, and that's Sandy Koufax. And there's a big difference between 4 no-hitters and 7 no-hitters. So Nolan Ryan, the great Nolan Ryan, pitched his number 7th no-hitter on this day in 1991. Well, the Attorney General was before the Senate today, and frankly, it is, I guess, what I expected, the partisanship. These hearings have honestly become a waste of time, because basically what you have is every senator gets 5 minutes, and they very rarely ask a question. They just give a speech. So you know exactly what they're going to say before they say anything. So these are really not even hearings anymore. They've become nothing but little speeches that these senators can then turn around and, on Twitter or whatever, get them out to their constituents and maybe ask them for money or whatever it may be. But the Attorney General, I thought, handled himself pretty well. The fact is that this whole thing with Mueller's letter has been totally blown out of proportion. There's no evidence that Mueller disagreed with the conclusion. The letter certainly doesn't say that. And if Mueller disagrees with the conclusion, I think he has a responsibility to come out public and say, I don't accept the Attorney General's conclusion. So, we find ourselves in a situation where this whole thing has been politicized to such a point. For 2 years, the Democrats kept telling us that the Mueller report was going to break Trump. Mueller report comes out, no collusion. Now we have the obstruction of justice component of this, which is, again, there's nothing to it. So now we're at a point right now where the Democrats have to keep this going. They have to keep this going because they have nothing else to talk about. What are they going to talk about? The American economy? We've had some unbelievable economic reports here over the last week. Just amazing economic reports about the state of the American economy. So they have nothing else to talk about. What are they going to talk about? Abortion? I think abortion is actually going to be a very big topic in 2020, but it's not going to be about choice. It's going to be about late-term abortion, a territory that I think a lot of Democrats are going to find very uncomfortable. So, you have all of this going on. You have a Democrat Party that has to continue banging this drum of scandal, and I don't think they're coming across very well, because if you believe that Donald Trump, President Trump, violated the Constitution or violated his oath, whatever, then you should stop talking about it and introduce articles of impeachment. If that's what you believe, stop talking about it and introduce articles of impeachment. They don't want to do that because they know that's a loser politically. But on the other hand, they got to keep all these people busy and occupied, all these people who got invested in all this Trump derangement syndrome, they've got to keep them occupied and busy. So, they're playing. They know they cannot do impeachment because, frankly, what's the article of impeachment going to be about? What's the high crime and misdemeanor that he's committed? There isn't any. So they got to keep it going. They've got to keep it going, as I said before, because they have a constituency. They have a base of the party that is just totally, totally, completely invested in this. And if you don't give them more anti-Trump stuff, they get angry. And then they go after the Democrats. And then they don't send you any money. And that's their dilemma. That's their dilemma. They've got to keep this base happy. So every opportunity they have to badmouth Trump, they have to do it. It's amazing, but that's the state of the Democrat Party today. Just totally, absolutely amazing. Well, have a wonderful day. Happy May 1st if this is your birthday. And we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.